Jim, what is the Alberta Biodiversity Monitoring Institute?
We're a registered not-for-profit organization. We monitor biodiversity across the entire province of Alberta, so from the north to the south, east to the west. We have 1,656 monitoring installations evenly distributed every 20 kilometers across the province, which means that we sample biodiversity in every land-based type in this vast province of ours, so private land, public land, national parks, and Department of National Defense.
Jim, the ABMI has just released its third major report on the status of biodiversity in Alberta. This one is looking at what's going on in the southern part of the province. Tell me a bit about that. What exactly does the region entail?
This report is titled The Status of Biodiversity in the South Saskatchewan Planning Region. It's a preliminary assessment for 2011. It covers the South Saskatchewan Planning Region, which is one of seven major planning regions in the province of Alberta. It represents 13% of Alberta's land area, and 45% of all the people who live in Alberta are aggregated in the southern part of the province. And really, it ranges from about Calgary south to our border with the U.S.
And then all the way across from the prairies to the mountains?
Yeah, from B.C. to the Saskatchewan border, it represents the entire southern part of the province of Alberta.
Well, the thing I like about the ABMI reports is that you boil everything down to a single figure when it comes down to the intactness of biodiversity. What is it for the South Saskatchewan region?
Yeah, there's a few key numbers, I think, to be aware of. One of them is the status of human development or human footprint in the southern part of the province. 49% of the South Saskatchewan planning region, the whole area, has been converted to some form of human land use. So think agricultural activity, transportation infrastructure, urbanization, energy activity. So we've actually modified the land base to support industrial and urban activity. If you were to look specifically at the grassland natural region within the South Saskatchewan, so that's the vast majority of the southern part of the province actually is in the grasslands, that number is 57% of the land base has been converted. So that's one major number, and I think it provides a good deal of context for some of the other values that we've looked at. When we move across to biodiversity itself, one of the major indicators of the health of biodiversity in southern Alberta is certainly the species, the native species that exist on that landscape. The ABMI has looked at three major groups. So we looked at the native birds that live in the grasslands, the native vascular plants that exist across the land base, and then the armored mites. And when you sum all of that up, you look at the total aggregated value or average value from 85 species, the intactness value is 54%. So 54% overall intactness for those major groups.
Well, in one sense, it's not a surprise because there has been so much development and farming agriculture in that southern region. What does this say, this 49% and 50-some percent in the southern region? What does that really say about what we're doing to the landscape there?
I think it's a snapshot of where we're at. I mean, certainly southern Alberta has had well over a century of industrial activity, of policies and management activities to support our local farming communities, to support our energy sector development, and to support the places where we live. Most of us live in southern Alberta, so we've had some pretty aggressive policies and continue to have pretty strong management and land use in southern Alberta. There's a lot of demands on that land base. So where we're at right now, the overall intactness value for species in that landscape is at 54%, and I don't think that's surprising. I mean, it's a reflection of well over a century worth of activity in southern Alberta. And it represents a snapshot of where we're at today. And I think put in the context of some of the major pieces of public policy and management. So the land use framework is certainly one. Watershed advisory and planning councils. We've got many management activities happening both at the municipal level and at the provincial and federal level. There's interest in understanding where we're at today and then having a dialogue with Albertans about where we want to be in the next 10 years, 20 years, half a century. So what do we want to see in the future and pass on to future generations of Albertans who will be living in this province?
Well, let's look at some of those numbers and some of the species that are impacted. And one of the ones that you mentioned along with plants and animals is the armored mites. What are armored mites and why are we concerned about them?
I think a few people have ever been introduced to armored mites. In the scientific community, they're known as oral-batted mites. They're tiny little mites that live in the soil all across this province. There's well over 300 of these species that live in the province of Alberta, and there's quite a few living in southern Alberta. They're no larger. I mean, the ginormous, the grizzly bears of the soil fauna, the grizzly bears of the soil mites are about the same size as a ballpoint pen, the tip of a ballpoint pen. So they're tiny, and those are the real big ones, right? They range from there way down into the microscopic. These species are good indicators of the health of our soil ecosystems. So not only are they species that live here, but they also represent a group of organisms that have a very close tie to something that is near and dear to Albertans' hearts. That is the health of our soils, whether or not you're you're growing crops, you're growing wheat or barley, whether you're growing trees to feed to the local mills or for wildlife habitat, or whether you're grazing your animals out in the rangelands. It is these little critters down there that sort of run and drive the ecosystems in those soil communities. And as a result, the ABMI has identified them as a key group of organisms to monitor, to look at the health of our soils and be able to report back to Albertans about how the soils are doing.
Well, the number that you've come up with is 55% intactness. So what does that really tell us about what's going on in the soil in southern Alberta?
This is a preliminary assessment, so we've still got a lot of work to do. We've monitored and detected several hundred species from the grassland ecosystem. And right now, we're looking at 10 different species. So overall, the average intactness value for these 10 species is 55%. And they range from some of the more common ones being up at 90 or 70% intactness, down to some of them being at about 40 or 34. So like any, you know, birds or vascular plants that live in the system, some of them are more or less sensitive to human development. And I guess for listeners, it might be worth just stepping back and letting people know that the ABMI uses this intactness figure that ranges between 100% and 0% intactness, where 100% intactness represents the condition of a species or an ecosystem in essentially a protected area or an area of the province where there's been very little to no human development. And the opposite of that is 0% intactness, meaning that sort of represents the number or the health of a species in downtown Edmonton or Calgary. So when you're at 0% intact, you don't expect many of those native species to exist. So for the armored mites, the intactness values average at 55%, which really tells us that on average, this group of species has deviated from this reference condition, this protected area sort of condition, by 45% today. So we've modified the land base enough in southern Alberta that the system is now about 45% different than it would be if there were no human development.
Now, what about this little guy, the Twin Butte nightgown mite? He doesn't have a very good number. It's only 34%.
Well, 34. So this is one of my particular favorites. We've detected it 5 times in southern Alberta. We've actually detected a fair number of times in and around Twin Butte, Alberta, which is sort of one of the prompts for why we've named it the Twin Butte nightgown mite. It is a mouthful, and the 34% value, it does indicate that it is about 76% different than we expected it to be relative to its reference condition. So it's 70% less abundant on the landscape than we expected it to be. The other part of that, which is the not very good, I think that's a decision that Albertans and certainly the ABMI would leave that decision, the value judgment about whether that's good or bad, to Albertans to have a discussion about, and that would be true of any species that the ABMI monitored.
Well, let's talk about some plants. What's happening with plants?
As we expected when we started out in this endeavor, late in the 90s and early 2000s, and then we really started to ramp up our activity in southern Alberta in 2007. And now I've had 3 to 4 good years of really strong monitoring in southern Alberta. And then we can start to talk about this. But as we expected when we first started, vascular plants are sort of a key indicator. Native vascular plants are a key indicator of the health of our ecosystems in southern Alberta, and certainly something that I think many people have an interest in for a variety of reasons. First, they're forage for our livestock. Second, they provide significant habitat for wildlife. And they are also, as you move into the foothills and the boreal forests of this province, they provide livelihoods for people involved in the timber industry. So certainly the status of vascular plants is something that we should be interested in. In southern Alberta, in the grasslands, the intactness value is 41%. And that's, again, not unexpected. They have a very strong relationship to human development. As human development moves in, we will typically pave a parking lot over top of it. We'll put a plow through it and then start to plant some of our crops that we depend upon. We will build houses on top of it. And as we do that, this group of species shows a fairly strong relationship to the development.
Well, I noticed in the report as well that you've listed a number of invasive species or non-native species, a number of weeds. And that includes everything from dandelions all the way down to bladder campion. Why would you look at non-native species?
Well, non-native species are considered to be the second largest threat to biodiversity on our planet. The first threat or biggest threat to biodiversity certainly is the conversion of land bases from a native ecosystem to something else. The second is the introduction of invasive species. To date, we've detected 87 non-native species in southern Alberta. The vast majority of those, 84 of those 87 species, are non-native plants, so the weeds by and large. And that ranges, from the most common of those. The common dandelion includes flixweed, creeping thistle, sometimes known as Canada thistle, so some serious agricultural pests. That exist in southern Alberta, right down to the less common, the bladder campion and the tall buttercup. So through this report, we're setting the benchmark or the reference condition. Where are we at today with these species? And by setting this benchmark, we can also evaluate how things are changing in the future. So in particular with this group of species, a significant amount of energy and resources are put in towards managing agricultural pests. The municipalities in southern Alberta spend a lot of money and effort trying to control some of these species. I think the ABMI is very interested in playing a role in being able to evaluate how successful we are. So over the course of 5, 10, 15, 20 years, monitoring and reporting back to Albertans how successful some of these efforts have been.
Well, let's take a look at animals. And from your report, it looks like there's a fair number of species that are of some concern, going all the way from extirpated to having some sort of special concern because they are being threatened in one way or another. What are the figures on that?
Overall, to date, 69 species in southern Alberta are considered to be at risk in some way. So species at risk. Now that generally ranges from, the most extreme, extirpated, so no longer found in Alberta. And then it ranges up to some of the species that are considered sensitive to human development. So I think these are management classifications and the government of Alberta and the Canadian government manage these portfolios, these files. But right now we have 3 species that are considered extirpated, 21 species are on the endangered species list, 23 and 22 are listed as threatened and of special concern.
Can you give me some examples of those that are endangered?
Some of the endangered species, I mean, these are certainly won't come as any surprise to people involved in land management in southern Alberta. They include the swift fox, the burrowing owl, there's the short-horned lizard. These kind of species have certainly captured the public imagination and, I think, to a degree, public frustration in some circles in southern Alberta.
And what's happening with birds in the grassland areas?
Overall, grassland birds, the overall intactness for this species group is 67%. So again, ranging from 100% to 0%. This group shows a 67% intactness. which actually caught me as a surprise to start with. I expected vascular plants, native vascular plants, and native bird species to be about the same. But in fact, the native bird species are showing to be about 30% more intact than the native vascular plants. And after some consideration, this wasn't a big surprise. These species are quite mobile, and they do exist. They're very plentiful in many of our pastures, tame pastures. I think most folks that are growing crops in southern Alberta would attest to having some of these bird species being quite abundant on their pastures and in their crops. So they exist across the entire landscape, and I think they're a little more robust than vascular plants. That is, they can live with humans a little more successfully than the vascular plants are.
In that area, because it covers pretty well all of southern Alberta, you do include in there the mountain regions. There's a number of parks along the mountains. How do parks and special areas fit into the report?
In this report, we also did an assessment of the amount and distribution of protected areas in southern Alberta. Overall, 6.3% of the South Saskatchewan landscape is considered to have some form of protection, on whether it's federal or provincial, and that includes the Department of National Defense, the Suffield Block. So if you evaluate those, 6.3% of the overall landscape is under some form of protection, and then it's not distributed evenly, so there's certainly significant protection in the mountain region. And then as you move out into the grasslands, that tends to be a little bit lower in terms of overall protection at about 1% on average.
So there's an awful lot of detail that's gone into the preparation of this report. How would you sum it all up then? What does this really mean?
The bottom line for this report is that it represents a benchmark by which Albertans can evaluate how things are changing through time. I mean, that's fundamentally, you manage what you measure. So you manage what you measure, and making sure that you're out there, you understand what we have and what some of the fundamental trade-offs are as we continue to develop across our landscapes. So fundamentally, where we're at right now, this report outlines where we're at right now with respect to habitat, human footprint, and some of the key species that exist in southern Alberta.
Where can the public get hold of this report?
This report is available on our website, www.abmi.ca, so abmi.ca. And all of the information, and probably more than most people would ever want to read, will be available on the website. So a bunch of supporting documentation, and we get into some of the science there too.
Well, this is an incredible exercise. Who is supporting you on this?
Well, we were registered in 2007 as a not-for-profit, and we exist on the University of Alberta campus. So our main office is actually housed at the University of Alberta with strong coordinating partnership with the Royal Alberta Museum and Alberta Innovates Technology Futures, particularly out of Vegreville, their Vegreville office supporting a bunch of our activities. Having said that, financially, we get the vast majority of our support through the government of Alberta and through some of the industrial partners, particularly in northeastern Alberta related to the oil sands operators. So there's significant support from both government and industry to make this happen.
Thank you very much, Jim.
You're welcome.